This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford, and this week we have a special episode of the USDF's official podcast as we talk to Laura Graves and Casey Periglass about their performances at the FEI World Cup Final this past week in Omaha, Nebraska. Both riders are coached by Debbie McDonald, and for Casey Periglass, who made her Olympic team debut last year in Rio, this was her first World Cup final, and she finished in a creditable seventh place in the middle of the pack in the Grand Prix on a score of 73.828% with Gerklingard's doublet. And then on to the freestyle, she also finished seventh with a score of 77.068. And we'll be talking to Casey in just a moment, and then later on we'll hear from Laura. But first I want to remind you that the views of the host and the guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. Casey joins me now, having arrived back at her training base in Wellington, Florida. Casey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, a huge congratulations. Your debut World Cup, and there you are, finishing right up in the pack there, giving everybody a run for their money. How does it feel, and have you had time for it all to sink in?
It feels really good. I went into it with a very positive mindset with Dublet, and it really hasn't sunk in yet. Just like Rio, it takes a little bit to kind of get back into our groove and step back and think about what we just did. But it feels really good, and the venue and everything was amazing, and the support from the fans was amazing, and our team did really well.
And that's wonderful, of course, for any home team rider to get that support from the local crowd, and as well as, of course, your family and supporters. And we know you call yourselves Team Believe. You've got an extended family there. Let's talk about who went with you to Omaha, Nebraska for those finals. Who was on your team for the competition?
Sure. Team Believe is just made up of so many people, and unfortunately, not all of them could be there, but I had my biggest fan, my husband, Dana Glass. He was there. And my mom, Diane Perry, who also owns Dublet, and my sister, Holly Gorman, who she grooms for me at all the big events and some shows in Florida. And my sister, Rayleigh Yeager, was there. She was there just for, mental support and to see what all this is. She was in Rio also, but didn't really get the behind the scenes action of everything. So to have her in the background with us and in the stable, she was just kind of caught off guard on how much goes into these horses and what we have to do to prepare. So she was there. And then, my dad was there, Robert Perry, and Debbie McDonald, my coach, was there, and we just had a whole lot of fun. And Bob McDonald, he was also there, and we just had a lot of fun. It was a very special show for all of us.
And you've been training with Debbie now for a couple of years, haven't you, since she joined up with you in Europe in 2015. So talk about that partnership with her, Casey, because it clearly works for you and Dublet as well. Tell us what it is that makes you guys sync.
Debbie has a unique personality where she can be hard on you at some points, and she could be, easy on you at some points. And she's really good about balancing her coaching on when she's going off of your feeling and what you need, especially in the competition. And during the freestyle warm up, she's always more like pumped up and ready to go because she knows that's kind of our favorite thing to do. And she gets this excitement about her, like, yeah, you can find your grit. She just gets so pumped up and positive. And I love that, and it gets me, ready to go and ready to compete. And then also she is so knowledgeable in her training, and she never backs down from any challenge that we put in front of her. And whether it be connections or throughness stuff, or, she just has so many tools in her toolbox, and it all varies. And I just think it's very important to have someone on your side that can stick through anything that you throw at them. And she does.
Well, you, of course, made your Olympic debut last year, coming home with the team bronze. But this has to be another career highlight for you, finishing seventh in both of the classes, the Grand Prix and the freestyle. Let's talk through the competition, because we hear what a wonderful atmosphere it was there. Great crowd, great venue and everything. Talk us through it from when you arrived and how Doublet felt, and then going into the arena for familiarity in the first place. How did he feel right at the start of the competition, Casey?
Sure. Laura Graves and I both flew with our horses. We do every chance we get, we can fly with them. We are always there. And they flew great. And Diddy and Doublet were travel partners. And then they got off the plane easy as can be. And when we got to the venue, it was just like, I've never been in an indoor venue at all. So I got there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a big event. It's such a big venue. And we put our horses in their stalls, and the staff there was so accommodating for everything that we needed, whether it be more shavings, if we needed carrots, if we needed anything, they were right there to help us. And especially Tim Duda and the Duda Corp, their staff was amazing. And, you know, getting there, Doublet settles in usually pretty calmly. He never really gets ruffled much. And then we let them rest a little bit. And then we were able to hand walk them in the public warm up in the back. And at that time, the vendors were just starting to build their little booth, and there's a lot of sawing going on. There's a lot of nail guns. There's a lot of, you know, tarps going everywhere. And so Doublet was a maniac. I could barely hand walk him. It was a lot of atmosphere for him. And so I just figured I'll walk him for 10 minutes and then put him back in his stall and let him rest and kind of acclimate a little bit in his stall. And Tom Myers did a lot of laser work on him just to get him calm. And by the next morning, we had our first rides in the public arena, and he felt great. And then he was a little distracted still with all of the vendors putting their stuff up. But we ended up being able to go into the main stadium on Tuesday for our first familiarization ride. And he kind of got in there and was excited, you know, but he calmed down because it was an easier environment for him inside the main arena. And then going in for Wednesday, we got to do the familiarization ride again in the big stadium. And it was so fun going in there. And, you know, once you walked in, everyone started clapping for you. And you just really felt the support from the people that were in there. And every time you did something really cool or good, or, you know, what they liked, they would clap for you. So it was a lot of fun. And I think that day gave Doublet and I some confidence that he was going to be okay in that arena, just because he's never been in something like this before. And so that was a lot of fun. And then the Grand Prix started, and again, he went in there, you know, probably the most relaxed I've ever felt him. We lost a little bit of power going into the Grand Prix, but I would rather have the relaxation for my first ride and the suppleness than the power. So we reached a goal that I've wanted for him for a really long time. And then going into the freestyle, I was looking to add a little bit more power, because he had that suppleness about him, and he delivered. And I couldn't have asked for anything better for him. And any more positivity for that event would have been too much. You know, he was just so good in everything that he did, that I couldn't have asked for a better show and a better first World Cup with him.
So coming out of that Grand Prix, then, did you get more than you expected in total? And how did it compare, putting all those pieces together, Casey, with how he's been going during the winter season down there in Wellington?
You know, I personally felt like that was one of our better rides that we've done. So the score to me was a little low, I felt. But in all, it's our sport. You know, it's very subjective, and the judges are there for a reason. And all we can do is go back and look at our tests and see how we can improve. But I personally felt like that was the best test that I've written on him. And compared to our last show in Compiègne, the one that we won. And I really feel like it was a big milestone for him. He just was very relaxed and knew his job. And it was a very clean test. We didn't have any mistakes in our changes or our pirouettes. So that was a very positive note also.
Well, obviously having the horse under you going as well as that into a major competition like that, it gives you a lot of confidence. But how does Casey Perry Glass handle her nerves for the big event?
You know, I have actually been speaking with a sports psychologist lately. And, you know, coming off of Rio, you kind of have this crash a little bit. You know, you don't have too many goals in front of you. And just because you've just accomplished something that was so important in your life. And so I reached out to a sports psychologist, and she's been really helping me with really what's important in my personal training, what's important to me and what's important to Dublay. And I think that once we channel that, which is making every event positive for him, that's important to me and his well-being. And so it's kind of directed my mind in a sense of yeah, I can be competitive, but also, you know, I have to look out for the well-being of my horse and not push him too hard. And so going into this event, I was very positive. I was very, you know, we're going to go in there, we're going to have fun, we're going to enjoy our experience, and we're going to try to be as competitive as we can and learn from it. And I really think that we accomplished that. And I get nervous sometimes, but I really work on my breathing. You know, I have this kind of like a breathing song that I do, and it really helps my heart rate lower and my nerves kind of pass. And then I just, once I get on, I'm ready to go. I know our job, I know our training, and I have to believe in it.
Well, of course, the response that you would have got from that Grand Prix and the home crowd would have given you another boost, I would imagine, when you rode out of that arena, thinking, gosh, that was the best I could have done. And what a reception
yeah.
I've got. I mean, that was a real feel-good moment, I'm sure, which you would have carried over the rest of
yeah.
time then, the training that you had to do. What did you do in between that Grand Prix and your freestyle with him, Casey, just to get him, keep him sweet, keep him fresh, so that you
yeah.
have the horse you needed on the final day's freestyle?
Yeah, I knew he, it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot of environment for these horses. I was really, my adrenaline was going up until, you know, Thursday night. And then I kind of hit a crash, and I thought to myself, gosh, Dublay must be feeling the same thing. You know, he must be so tired from all the noise and the adrenaline and everything that's going on. So I wanted to keep Friday more of a relaxing day for him, and just really working on small things that will keep him in front of my leg, that will keep him through and really responsive, but not work him hard. And so we just worked on some serpentine work. We did some little bit of shoulder ins just to keep him moving in front of my leg and really through over his back. And so we did maybe about 30 minutes of that, and then we took him out for a hand walk later that day. And that was a little bit different than normal events. You know, normal events I would probably be on him twice a day, just moving him around and getting him more supple, but he's been so good about being relaxed that I didn't have to do that, and hopefully I won't have to do that, you know, again. But you know, I just wanted to keep him quiet. And we did it. I mean, we just kept that Friday ride very, very simple for him.
So going into the freestyle then, final preparation there, I can see you in the warm-up arena and maybe humming that breathing song. Was that something that
yeah.
you had to deal with, thinking, oh gosh, I am finally going into the freestyle here in my first World Cup? How did those moments
yeah.
feel going in there? Did you have the horse that you wanted and feel, okay, I can only go in there and do my best and the crowd is behind me?
Yeah, you know, it. There's a couple times where I had to use my breathing just because he got a lot more tense in the warm up, and he did that for my Grand Prix too, because there's so much commotion outside in the warm up, the cameras, the vendors, everything, and so a lot of most of the time I couldn't practice too much of my pattern, and so I kind of just thought to myself, well, I'm going to go in there and, yeah, exactly, do the best I can and see what we can do. And the freestyle has always been a better part of Dubois and I. And I'm more comfortable in the freestyle. And once I got in there, I just kind of felt him let loose a little bit in his body and go, oh, okay, I can do this. You know, he was really excited to be in that main stadium. Right when we got in, people started clapping, and it just kind of gave him that little bit of edge to have that more power and that more engagement that he needed for that test. And I couldn't have been happier with him.
So for those who were not there or unable to watch on FEI TV, tell them about the music and what was the reasons behind the choice of music that you have for his freestyle.
The music, I use a gentleman named Tom Hunt, and he does all of Charlotte Dujardin's music, and I believe he did Carl's also. And he is a music producer and a composer, and he's done my music for about, I think, 4 years now. And when Dubois was in the small tour, and then also when we got to the big tour, and we made it last year for Rio, and I just wanted something that was powerful, but wasn't overdoing it, because Dubois is so powerful in his movement, but he's also very elegant and very relaxed and very supple. And right when Tom sent me the music, I just started crying. He just picks such great music and works it with the horse to every beat and makes every transition flow very nicely. And he chose for him a little bit of Lord of the Rings and a little bit of Avengers. And I just think that he had the same mindset I had, that, you know, Dubois doesn't need to be overpowered, but he needs to have that enthusiasm behind him. And he nailed it. And it was actually really funny, because I went into my hotel room on Friday night and I turned on the TV, and all of a sudden I was like, I called my husband. I was like, I think this music is so familiar. And it was Dubois' music, because the Avengers was on TV. So it was just kind of like a fun little experience I had to have the fact that his music was playing on the TV the night before the freestyle. So it was fun.
There was an omen for you, Casey.
Yeah, exactly.
So after that, then after the freestyle, coming out, what were your feelings about him and what he'd given you over those couple of days of competition? What was your biggest takeaway from your performance, or both performances?
I think after the freestyle, I was very overwhelmed with kind of emotions. I felt like all positive emotions. I was a little bummed that during, you know, with the draw of everything, that Debbie couldn't watch my ride, but she had to warm up Laura for hers. So that was a little bit of a bummer part, but all in all, I was so happy with how he handled, both him and I handled everything. You know, he could have been a complete maniac, and because of all the noise and all the environment, but he really proved to me this show that he's ready for this next year, and he's ready to keep going and competing with the big dogs and really trying to get our scores up. And, cause I do believe that this horse can compete, you know, at the higher level with it, you know, maybe a high 70. And, now it's just a matter of getting those scores out of them without pushing him past his breaking point. And I want everything positive for this horse and see where these next couple of years can take us. And he really proved himself this year.
Well, it might even be 8-0. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You know, we're just going to keep going for it. So, you know, we're excited for Europe, and hopefully we'll get on the Nation Cup team for Rotterdam and Aachen and really start competing against these Europeans, because, you know, Team USA can really hang with them. And we're proving that, and we're really excited. And I think we have a lot of combinations coming up that are going to be even more exciting. And I think the biggest part about this World Cup, that I had so much fun hanging out with, you know, some of the top riders and really watching how they train and taking little bits from each person. So it was a very fun experience for me.
What did you take away as a competitor, as a rider? What did that event teach you, Casey?
It taught me patience, just to know that, like, you know, Dublé and I can do this. And it also taught me that, you know, everyone goes through their ups and downs, and it's just a matter of hanging in there and believing in your training and your horse. And I think this competition was probably by far the most fun I've ever had. And last year was very stressful for us. And, you know, it kind of rekindled the love of the sport that I have. And you know, the sportsmanship of everyone, all the competitors, you know, that was really fun to see and to be around. So, yeah, the sport teaches you a lot. Every show's new. Every training session's new. You know, you just have to ride the horse that you have that day.
Absolutely. And, of course, you're back in Wellington, as I said earlier, giving him, a well-deserved rest. So what next? When will you pick up the reins on him again, Casey, with the summer program that you have ahead of you? What's the plan?
The plan is I'll probably get back on him a little bit later in the week or maybe even next week and move him around with Debbie. And he's out in his turnout all day and enjoying his grass. And then hopefully we'll shoot for championships in May. And then we'll head off to Europe and do a couple shows out in Europe and then come back and give him another well-deserved rest in Sun Valley, Idaho. So we'll be up there probably from August to November. And then we head back to Florida and get ready for the WEG.
And finally, is there any message that you would like to give to your fans, your supporters, and your team, of course, and the wider USDF membership, Casey, about your experience at your first World Cup final?
You know, I'm just so thankful for everyone's support. You know, it's been a whirlwind, and you know, we moved up really fast, and I couldn't have done it without my family, without my team Believe. Everyone from when I was starting to ride till now, and my old trainers Gina and Christoph. You know, just all their support and the fans, I mean, the support that everyone's given me has been so, so generous and so nice. And I don't take it for granted. And I just love this sport. And I love all the camaraderie and the excitement around it. So I thank everyone for all your support.
Well, congratulations again on your result there, Casey. Seventh in the FEI World Cup final. And the very best of luck for this summer to come and the tour in Europe and, of course, beyond to WEG with Dublet. And thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Maura Graves has become an established member of the US team. She made her debut on the team at the 2014 World Equestrian Games, where she finished fifth, and then went on to the World Cup Finals in Las Vegas, where she finished just off the podium. But a year later, she was on the team again in Rio, where the team won, of course, the bronze medal, and Laura just missed out on getting on the podium there too. But she got her revenge in Omaha, Nebraska, by finishing second to Isabel Werth, who captured the World Cup title with Viagold on a score of 90.704. Laura finished on 85.307%, which was a personal best for her. And she joins me now from her home in Florida. Hi, Laura. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations. I know you didn't want to be the bridesmaid, but it was pretty special after all with that personal best. Are you satisfied all round though?
Yeah, I mean, how could I not be? Of course, nobody wants to be the bridesmaid. And I for sure go to win. And you can't ask more from my horse. He was in top form, and it's great to have him go like that at an event here in the United States.
Well, a personal best, 85.307. Was that something you were expecting going into this, in the way that he'd been performing over the winter there in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, you never really know what to expect, especially in an environment where we have such limited experience. But he's been in top form coming out of Rio. He stayed that way all season, finally hitting 80% in the Grand Prix. And so we knew that anything was possible. He really, really loves to show. And he seems to appreciate it more as he gets older.
And we know he's a bit of a spooky pony, isn't he? I mean, we know how he behaved in Vegas a couple of years ago. What did he think to the Omaha venue and the crowds there that love him, of course?
Yeah, he's very, very spooky, and he's just that way by nature. But it was a great environment, because in Vegas, you know, the warm-up was private. So then you would leave the warm-up, you were outside, and then you would walk in through the tunnel to the stadium. But here in Omaha, everything was contained inside the venue. So the stables, we had a private warm-up. Then we had a very, very busy public warm-up in the middle of the vendor village, which was actually more chaotic than the stadium itself. So it was a really great situation to get your horse prepared for competition day.
It certainly would have desensitized him, I would think, with everybody shopping around him.
Yeah, and it seems to be that just 2 years, actually, this horse, my coach Deb and I, we were both kind of, you know, telling him what a great guy he is, because he went into that public warm-up the first day and was really, you know, pleasantly surprised by how brave he was.
And talk about that lead up to the Grand Prix then, how he was going. He obviously settled down better. And what horse you had going into the arena for that Grand Prix? Talk us through that and how that went for you, Laura.
You know, he felt amazing the whole Grand Prix, the first part of the trot tour. Unfortunately, you know, that spookiness came back a little bit in the first Piaf, where we have to face, you know, basically a panel of cameras with flashes. And that was a bit of a mistake. And then I made a rider error going into our second pirouette. So some expensive things. But when I watched the test on the video, I thought he was terrific.
Not that you're biased, of course.
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Well, tell us what you took away from that Grand Prix that was going to help you over the day's rest there before going into the freestyle. What did you focus on?
It's kind of a funny thing they had us do in Omaha, where when I was finished in my Grand Prix, they usually pull you for media. And this particular event, they actually had me stand with a camera on me watching Isabel's entire ride right up at the end. Entrance to the stadium. So that was a little interesting, but it gave me a very, very, you know, close encounter with her test. I haven't seen the mare go for a whole test, even though, you know, I'm either busy riding my own horse or I'm back at the barn or something. And so I hadn't seen her mare go live. And that was interesting for me to compare our two horses, which are so different, but knowing that if I had ridden clean, that it could have been anyone's day.
Because I know you don't usually like watching your class, do you?
No, and I can't watch. I still won't watch anyone who goes before me. It's nice for team events if we have the Grand Prix over 2 days, because I can watch the first day. If I'm not competing that day, I can watch all day long. But if I have to get myself, in show mode, it's just something that has worked for me, and the one time I tried to change it, it backfired. So we stick to what we know works.
Absolutely. What about competition nerves, though, Laura? How do you deal with those with the big events now that you've had, obviously, a lot of team experience already in the few years that you've been competing at this level, but it's obviously first-class team experience. Has that helped you with these individual performances? How do you handle the pressure now?
It's funny, because I think something that was a unique experience for the entire U.S. dressage team in Rio, looking back, is that there is pressure, but every single one of us contributed to that medal. And having a team around you that's so supportive, even when you're having a bad day, it's something none of us do on purpose. And obviously we all go out there and want to make it a personal best, but this is horses. And there's a lot of humility in this sport. You know, don't we do this for fun? You know, I think that's something that people forget often. And after the year I had last year, for sure, I'm able to look forward to these competitions as fun, you know, having a good time and just getting to show my horse in the best possible way and to enjoy it.
Now, we know that Casey has some particular breathing exercises, some music that she plays in her head from breathing to calm the nerves.
Is that what she's doing?
That's what she's doing.
I never know what she's doing. Yeah.
And obviously it works for her. I'm wondering what Laura Graves does just before she's going into the arena, and that kind of crowd is going to greet you. I mean, a home crowd that you know is going to love you and support you, and obviously was cheering through the tests as well. Yeah. Did that make you a little bit more nervous, or did you think, oh gosh, this is just the kind of support I need to raise my game and for him?
Yeah, it's nothing that makes me nervous. I have such a good time riding this horse, and to hear the crowd appreciating it, you know, you have to appreciate the crowd, and, you know, my horse certainly did. And I guess I'm fortunate in the way that I don't really struggle with nerves. You know, we stick to a routine before we go into that arena. I do like my structure. It makes me feel prepared. Although I have to say, I have this recurring nightmare that someone will forget to pull off a bell boot or a bandage, and I will go into that arena with a bell boot on and get eliminated. And so to this day, before I go in, you'll find me leaning over and checking his legs. And then I always ask Deb, who literally hand walks me into every stadium, I say, you know, are all the boots off? And of course they are, but yeah, it's a fear of mine.
Yeah, well, obviously justifiably at that level of competition. I want to talk about your team. You mentioned Deb there, of course, Debbie McDonald, who coaches you, and Casey, and your relationship with her, why that's working so well as it is for you and Diddy, Laura, now that you've been together for a while.
Yeah, my relationship with Deb, you know, it's very special. It's something I cherish. She's obviously called upon all over the world for her teaching expertise. And, you know, this particular horse is not so easy. And when you maybe saw him a few years ago, people weren't convinced that he was really going to be a top Grand Prix horse. But she believed in him. And even if he wasn't so talented for something, he certainly always tried. But he's very, very sensitive. And not all trainers are sensitive to him. And she was, you know, the first thing she did, rather than confronting him in a strong way, is she takes a step back and says, hey, let's make sure he's able to do his job. You know, does your saddle fit? Does he like the bits that you have in your bridle? You know, all these kinds of things before we even think about pushing the training. And that's what's so special about her. And it's a system that I trust completely.
Of course, and certainly for the very big occasion like this. So take us through that weekend, then Friday of the rest day. What did you do with him? Just some suppling, stretching? What was your routine for the Friday before you went to the freestyle?
You know, you kind of have to take it day by day. And life with horses will teach you that you have to have, like, you know, you think you have a plan, well, you should have at least 5 backup plans. So we, you know, I popped on him on Friday. He, of course, gets a little hand walk in the morning. And then I just jumped on. And, you know, Deb and I say, okay, we see how he feels. And depending on his energy level, then we decide what to do. He surprisingly felt just as high energy as he did the first day. So we worked him for a bit, mostly stretching, a few transitions. He's pretty trained up at this point, so we don't spend a lot of time doing tricks, making sure we get him in the right way into the contact. And then he walks for a bit more and we put him back in the barn and, you know, trying just not to wear him out when he doesn't need to be.
All right. Talk us through that Saturday and the big one. this was something that you dearly wanted to win this. You're very competitive, but you knew Isabel was the one to beat. You know how that mare goes for her, and she was very capable of a big score. You knew you had to pull out all the stops. Did you go into that arena thinking, I really can push all the buttons today?
Yeah, I mean, I knew anything was possible, and I maybe made the mistake in our press conference on Thursday of mentioning, you know, to Isabel's face that I very much thought I could win on Saturday, and I came to win. And of course, she's just as competitive as I am. So she knew that I was out for the win, and I was happy to come as close as we did. But yeah, I went in there just looking to have a good time, and my horse was feeling the atmosphere in a good way. And we just had a blast, and I was really happy to see the score, knowing all the big riders that were still to come in the class.
Could you even hear your music with the atmosphere that was there?
You know, I could hear it through most of the ride, and we made a last minute change on that final center line, and about halfway down my center line, the crowd was so loud, I had no idea what my music was doing, and so I decided to halt where I thought my music might end, but I couldn't hear it at all, no.
Has that ever happened to you before?
It has never happened to me before, and it's amazing. And I thought, well, if I can't hear it, the judges can't hear it.
That's a good way to look at it. All right. Well, remind everyone what that music is, Laura, for those that weren't able to be there.
Yeah, so Terry Gallo came up with this super idea for us. It's based on the movie Rudy, which is an underdog story of a young guy who wants to play football at Notre Dame. A lot of things in his life have every reason to hold him back, but he's determined to make it happen, and he does, and it's just fabulous music.
And what was your takeaway then from this competition? Because everyone's a school day, isn't it? There's something you're going to take away that you're going to put into practice, not only for your partnership with him, Laura, which now is obviously really solid and promises a lot for the year ahead and next year to come, and also as you as a rider and a competitor, as an athlete.
You know, it's taken me a while. I'm not, even though I don't get nervous, I'm not the world's most confident person. Actually, I'm really rather shy in most other aspects of my life. But this for me, this year, after the Olympics we had last year, you know, to be on an individual podium, you know, next to Isabel and Carl Hester, puts me in a way where I feel very confident about my future, and I feel confident about this horse. And having that mindset really, you know, the judges can see it in your riding, and I see it when I watch my videos back and compare to them, you know, to last year or the year before. It's just a determination and a way you ride your center line. Yeah, I think that's my big takeaway, is that, you know, it's possible, and you know, let's enjoy it while we can.
And if you were to compare the horse that you rode this past weekend to the horse you rode in Rio, what would the differences be, Laura?
You know, I honestly, the neat thing about World Cup is that you only have two goes. You go the Grand Prix and then you go the freestyle. And the special is quite a long test, and it can really take a lot out of the horses. Rio is an outdoor environment. I felt maybe it was very hot the day of the individual, and so maybe he was a little tired. We had been there for 2 weeks at that point. And in Omaha, you know, the indoor environment's completely temperature regulated. It's cool outside. We're coming from Florida. He just felt totally top level energy the entire time. So while that's really a great feeling to have, I think we still have some places to learn on how to manage all that energy, especially in an indoor environment.
Well, this summer, of course, another big preparation year, going through on towards the 2018 World Equestrian Games. I'm sure that's the next big milestone for you. But tell us what the plan is for now. I'm sure he's home enjoying a bit of grass there in Florida and a well-deserved rest. But when do you put the saddle on again and get started? What's the summer plan for you?
Yeah, we'll see. We're still kind of discussing different options. He's obviously, you know, earned this right to be only competed as we see fit and for a purpose. And we'll see. We'll see where this World Cup puts us in terms of world ranking. It will be important for us to keep that world ranking moving into the World Games year next year in Tryon. And, you know, Robert Dover and my coach Debbie McDonald and I, we've got some decision making to do. So whether we maybe do a big one in Europe, we'll see. And then obviously it looks like next year, you know, we're hosting the games. So we still have yet to hear the plan for selection for that. But that will determine his schedule, you know, and what's best for him. So he's hopefully in top form for Tryon.
How much of a holiday does he have now before you put the tack on again?
You know, he determines his own holidays always. He's a little spoiled like that, but he'll start being pretty naughty here, I would expect, in another few days. We got home last night and he had some field time and he's been out in the field all day today. So my guess would be by the end of the week, I'll have to jump on him just to keep him in the field. And then we decide what's next for him. You know, we get together with Robert Dover and my trainer and make some choices there.
Okay, well, finally, before I let you go, Laura, I know that you want to recognize some of the people on your team who were there for you in Omaha and maybe the wider friends and followers that you have that are supporting you and supporting your career. What would you like to say to them?
You know, I'm so lucky to say that it's such a big group of people. You know, obviously my family, my amazing boyfriend who gives up so much of his life to support me. The team that keeps my barn running at home while I'm, you know, chasing down dreams all over the world, and the clients who allow that to happen also. My coach, you know, Deb McDonald, there's personal sponsors. Betsy Giuliano is an amazing one of my sponsors and a dear, dear friend. And we're so lucky to have US Equestrian that so completely supports all of their athletes. I'm very fortunate in so many ways, and Omaha was terrific. The whole Omaha Equestrian team pulled off an amazing event that everyone will be talking about for quite some time.
I'm sure we will, Laura, and we're going to be talking about your performance there with Diddy for a long time to come. I want to thank you very much again. Congratulations on the results and for taking the time to come on the program, and the very best of luck for the summer ahead, and of course, onwards and upwards to WEG. Thank you so much, Laura. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you too.
And the third American rider at the FEI World Cup Finals was, of course, Stefan Peters, who rode Rosamund to ninth place in the freestyle with a score of 75.879. They finished eighth in the Grand Prix on a score of 72.257%. And you can find more about the FEI World Cup Finals in the upcoming issue of USDF Connection magazine. And that's it for this special episode of the FEI World Cup. Be sure to visit the website at usdf.org for all the latest news and to follow on social media too. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.